What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
The Jericho Network on Westwood One.
The world is a vampire.
The Raven Effect with pro wrestling superstar Raven.
A cornucopia of stupidity masquerading as a podcast.
Critics have hailed it as everything from,
huh? Who's this Raven jerk?
And, if you want clever discourse, nonsensical banter, and incessant rambling, well, this is the show for you. Ladies, gentlemen, idiots, floozies, and reprobates, this is Raven.
Hello and welcome! Today's show is being recorded from my Waffle House table in my condo in Atlanta, Georgia. It actually is always recorded there, so there's really no reason to mention it, except to humble brag, in case you didn't know, I own a Waffle House table. Ah, a little humble brag and never hurt anybody. I might have hurt Busby. Not my... I haven't introduced you yet. Shut up.
Oh.
Not my prized possession, but neither... I gotta get a typist. I gotta get past 20
Wait,
words.
This all this segue stuff is all written down?
Yes, I gotta get it. The intro's always written down, so I know what I'm talking about. But I can't ever read it because I can't read my own handwriting because it's so scratchy. And I started taking typing lessons, but I only got to like 20 words a minute, which it's faster to write. Shut up. I haven't introduced you yet. Anyway, in case you didn't know, I own a Waffle House table. And not my prized possession. That would be when I took over my prized possession. Now I get what I was writing around. No, my prized possession was when I took over Linda Blair and made her curse at a priest and spin her head around real fast. But now.
All that work for that?
Yeah, but now with the Me Too movement, you shouldn't go around saying that you possess people, especially women of the opposite sex. Why aren't men the opposite sex? Enough metaphysical babble. Let's introduce my co-host so he can wow us with some hip snaps. Ooh, today he's going to pay off a cliffhanger we left hanging on a cliff last week about pulling the wool or some suitable summer fabric like rayon, polyester, and ester over our eyes. And ester is a topical reference about the 1970s show Sanford and Son. Oh, okay. My co-host is a man whose genetics are a curious cocktail of inbreeding, lard, and pulmonary edema. Well, that sounds about right. He is an author of the famous Big Time Party book about holding his liquor called I Threw Up and written under the pseudonym Oliver Shoes. I knew I'd get a chuckle. He also wrote
That's a shame chuckle.
You shut up. I haven't introduced you. He also wrote the Frankensteinian page turner about a human-animal hybrid called They Crossed a Man with a Duck. And he wrote it under the non-de-plume, Willy Waddle.
Oh, boy.
And in case you're confused, when they crossed the man with the duck, they were trying to, page two, they were trying to create a human-duck hybrid. Don't go getting all religious, your religious panties in a bunch and say, instead of crossing a man with a duck, they should have Jewish starred a man with a duck. Egads. Last time I didn't use a Jewish star, I got crucified for it. Kurt Angle was really cross.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, woo!
Jeez. No, this is okay.
Look, I don't make fun of your hip snaps. Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah, you do.
No, never mind then. My co-host is a man who's smelly, but still a boy named Deli. Deli boy callback. That brings a tear to your eye, doesn't it?
I was going to say, I wonder if anyone even knows that used to be my non-de-plume.
He has a large belly and a poster in the bathroom of R. Kelly. Really, in the bathroom? How apropos. Whenever someone asks him for the time, he always does his Morris Day impression. My co said he's feeling especially generous today. Just contact him Anyone who needs a helping hand job, contact him at his hand job headquarters. Actually, that's where he gives blowjobs. That's why it's his headquarters. For a hand job, you go to his hand quarters. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. Woo! He's a strange cook. Oh, I mispronounced that. That's kook. He's a strange kook. The reason my co-host clown group is called the Jizzos is because first someone announces him. Then Busby comes on. The audience. Then he smokes a cigarette and takes a nap. What a bargain for $15. Beats watching him do improv. Or hang around junior. Or hang around junior highs. Or hang out with Bill Cosby and Harvey Weinstein, or emasculate Krista's back by not buying a new mattress. You get it. He's the Wizard of Whoopee Cushions. It's Busby Berkowitz. I thought you should have sound more Jewish today. Yay!
Welcome to me. And now let's take it down a notch and rub them fingers nice and tight as we hit some Busby snaps and make it feel all right. I'm going to do a bonus one on the wool. So you're going to get your normal three and then a bonus wool snap.
Ooh, aren't we lucky?
When a mason decides to quit his job, does that mean he's throwing in the trowel? Oh, boy.
What if he's working and he doesn't get paid? Is he a Freemason?
Oh, wow. Listen, hey, keep your jokes to yourself. If you want to read a book that's a real mystery, buy one in a language you can't read. It's a thinker. How about that? There's no pun in that one.
Yeah. That doesn't make it any better.
Okay. I invented a game called Immortal Combat. You just keep fighting forever while you watch your grandchildren grow old and die.
That's so horrible. I love it.
Okay. And here's the bonus one. I used a bit of trickery to steal someone's takeout bag from McDonald's. You could say I pulled the wool over their fries. Oh, boy. I just wrote that because I forgot about the callback. Yeah. Sorry. My apologies. How you doing, my friend? I wrote that just so everyone knows. I just wrote that joke. That's how quickly my mind works.
And that may be your best one of the day.
Oh, no. Come on. Immortal Kombat was pretty great.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe. Maybe not. How you doing?
I was sick all week. Thank you, by the way, for allowing us to record later. But it's almost like my body knows. I don't know if anyone deals with this listeners-wise. But, like, I had a super busy, like, 5 days. And the day I had finally, like, a little free time, sick as a dog.
Yeah, that's weird because, you know, I swear to you, the same thing happened. I've been going crazy, working like crazy the last because I went on the road and did stand-up. And then I got back. And then I had to do a bunch of shit the whole week. And then all of a sudden last night when I didn't have to do anything after because I was so tired, I was like, let's just do the podcast tomorrow. I figured that would help you too. I just collapsed into a mini depressive state. It was really weird. Like my brain shut down on me.
Yeah, I was really kind of mopey too. Like I did have like one gig I had to work. I had a little punch-up job. I can't mention the movie. It's a big deal. But beyond that, I didn't want to leave the house. I just laid around with my dog and I was like, maybe sometimes the body just needs to shut down for a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or maybe we're getting old.
Let me guess the name of the movie. Close okay. Encounters of the Urine Kind.
Is that an R. Kelly callback from your own open?
It is now.
Hey-o. tell me a little bit about the stand-up. So yeah, we haven't spoken really since you. So what did you do, three nights?
I did three nights of stand-up. They went smashingly well. It really went great. The audience was really receptive. They loved the material. I did like 30 minutes of stand-up and 30 minutes of Q&A. I even threw in a magic trick on the second and third night.
Nice.
It was very exciting and very comical. But the second night, I think, was the best because I had – actually, I think the first night went the best – But the second night went had more features to it. Because I had my buddy who I made a new friend. Who says you can't make a new friend at age 53? I made a new friend, this comedian, Vinny, who was forced to schlep me around. Great guy. He does a lot of stand-up in the area. And so he got a snare drum and a cymbal. So he would sit there and he would rim shot all the bad jokes in the act, which apparently there are quite a few. You would have
loved
it.
That guy had carpal tunnel syndrome by the end of that show.
Yes, he did. He actually had carpool tunnel syndrome because he was driving a lot during his kids to school.
With a friend? With a friend?
Yeah. Yeah. That's in my I have a bit where I do punchlines with no setup. And that's in there. Carpool tunnel syndrome, or like the Texas school book suppository. This is no setup, but it's a funny punchline.
I've got a hep snap I've been looking for the front end of, and the punchline is isosceles, isosa, please.
See, it works. Sometimes you just have a punchline, but there's no setup.
Yeah, it's just like a really joy. It's really pleasant. I do like the book suppository. That's pretty good.
My favorite one, though, is Keenan Ivory, Damon, Sean, Marlon, and pre-fight weigh-ins.
That's your punchline?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that is going to be a complex setup.
Yeah. For sure. But it works great as a punchline. It's a punchline with nothing else to it.
Well, you know what? Maybe that's just where comedy's going. I mean, if you think about Instagram and like Vine, rest in peace, it's like you can do a whole movie in 5 seconds. Why can't you do a whole joke without a setup?
Yeah, like Hakuna Frittatas.
Yeah, that's a good punchline.
Right. I know. I couldn't be bothered to write. I thought of the punchline. I thought of that. Like how these came into being was I thought of those and I had a bunch of them written down in my notes. And then I was like, And every one of them, I just couldn't think of a joke for it, but I held on to them, and then I just decided to add them all together. Like, what else is there? Pope-a-dope? The old Pope-a-dope?
Oh, wow, you've got a bunch of these punchlines.
Yeah, I use them in my act. I use them in the act as a filler. I have, like, a bunch of different I do impressions in my act. I do impressions. I do punchlines without setups. I also do a section on quotations that I think haven't been fully written. I think that they're half used. Like, I'll give you one of them. I'll give you a throwaway here. If you love someone, set them free. If they come back, they have Stockholm syndrome. Have them arrested immediately.
So you've added so you feel like that second part you added had completed the thought.
Yeah, and halfway through, I totally forgot what it was. So that's why I stumbled all over my joke. Yes, if you, what is it again? If you love someone and you set them free, if they come back, they have Stockholm syndrome, have them arrested immediately. Yes. And I have others like that too, but I don't want to give them away.
Don't waste it. Well, don't waste them all here.
Not on you.
I was going to say, are you planning to do more of this? Like, how do these stand-up gigs come about? Like, is it around a wrestling event or is it just like straight up just shows?
No, straight up shows usually.
Great.
Yeah, I only do about half a dozen a year. I think I'm going to start trying to do a few more because you don't have to lace any boots up.
Well, it's not like you're taking bumps anymore, so I can imagine it's about the same level of cardio.
Right, but what I'm saying, but I don't have to lace my boots up. I don't have to take – and I also don't have to be at the show. Like the show started at 8. I didn't have to leave my hotel till 7:30, you know, because you sell merchandise after the stand-up.
So, oh, right.
Yes, I didn't have to be there all day, you know, and then they usually have nicer green rooms, you know. So I may do more stand-up now, especially because now I'm getting for stand-up what I'm usually getting for wrestling, you know. So
that'd be great.
Yeah, so I think that's a good deal, I think.
Do you ever workshop jokes in your intro to the podcast for your act? Or?
No, but I am thinking of stealing some of my cleverer bits out of the podcast and putting them in my stand-up act.
That's what it's for. I think I've used some of the stuff I've done here. I've kind of repurposed it and done it in the L.A. comedy scene, and it's most of it's gone over pretty well.
Good. You know what I've been doing, though, this week also that really killed my time? Like, I already didn't have a lot of time because I was running around going crazy, but I've been playing a lot of Sudoku.
That's the number, the game, it's a square, and you have to get the numbers all right?
Yeah, yeah, there's 9 numbers in each square, and there's 9 squares, and then it's a lot of 9 business. This usually, old man, he played nine. That's what he was playing Sudoku. That's what the old man was doing.
With this old man, he played nine?
Isn't he played nine? What's he saying? He played nine. He played tic-tac on a vine with a Jimmy Jack, Mic-Mac, slick your back, cut the girl in some crap.
Cut the girl? What happened there?
The Me Too movement backfired.
Did a woman get cut in this story?
No, she got cut from her job. Let's not knife anyone in the back here. How's that song go? Isn't it nine?
I'm looking it up right now.
You're not typing very fast.
I type about as fast as you, so here it goes. This old man, he played one. He played knick-knack on my drum with a knick-knack, paddywhack, give a dog a bone. And then it keeps going, you know.
So I had a friend. This is such a bad joke. But I'm going to tell, it's not my joke, but I'm going to take, I will take credit for it if it goes over. So a friend of mine has a pawn shop, and so this guy brought in this white elephant, you know, like a white elephant, you know, like a little statue, and he wanted to sell it, and so the girl didn't want to pay much for it, so she said, get your boss, he wanted to use it to get some money against it, and she didn't think he'd get much, so she had to ask her boss, Mr. Paddywhack. So she said, it's a knick-knack, Patty. Oh, and the guy that came in and brought it was a frog. That's what made the story weird.
Sidebar. The guy was a frog.
The guy was a frog, and he brought in like a white elephant. So she goes, it's a knick-knack, Patty Whack. Give the frog a loan.
Oh, so you stole that from someone?
No, I just remembered it from somewhere. I don't know. I don't know where it came
return
from.
Return it?
Yeah, I would like to. Come on, it's a knick-knack. It's probably funnier if I mentioned the frog earlier.
No, actually, I think the best. Well, yeah, I think you should have mentioned the frog after the punchline. Oh, by the by, guy's a frog.
Yeah. Well, I think you would get that just by the joke, by the punchline.
Somebody sent me a really long joke on Twitter that I said I might try to do, but then I just was like, this is too long. You know, because when you're reading a joke, there's just a life that gets sucked out of a joke.
I don't know. Not if you read it really rapidly. Okay, I want to talk about a couple things here before we get to any wrestling.
Okay.
I want to talk about the fact that I saw this. I think it's not a hoax. Flyboard, this guy, you know those water boards where you, not when you get waterboarded, but those boards you stand on that have the water shooting up the butt? And then you fly all around in the area with a big hose connected to it?
Yeah. Like it's almost like a jet propulsion with the water.
Water. Yeah, you know those. So I saw a video for a flyboard where it's just a board and it has air coming out the bottom and it's like a jetpack kind of, but it's not on your back, although you have to wear on your back a bunch of mechanical stuff that, you know, keeps it afloat, keeps it in the air, but it's actually flying by itself. And supposedly it's legit.
How high can you, like, go up 50 feet?
Yeah, it's crazy. In fact, and then I started looking up, they actually invented that in the 50s. It's called the Hiller, H-I-L-L-E-R, Hiller something or other. And you can fly. It's like you're in Dick Tracy's garbage can that flies, you know, in the Dick Tracy comic strip.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And who doesn't remember Dick Tracy and his flying garbage can?
You know, I remember everything from those Dick Tracy comics.
How come Oscar the Grouch wasn't allowed to fly in his garbage can? I don't understand that.
But how come he wasn't allowed to live in that house? No one was in that house right behind him.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Maybe because he was so grouchy. That's probably why. So anyway, I want to have one of those. I always wanted to fly. That's like my pipe dream. That's like in my bucket list.
Have you ever skydove or like have you ever used a hand glider, tried to mimic flight in any way?
I did get a hand job once. How does that count?
I guess if it's work, it's not fun.
No,
it's a job.
I flew indoor skydiving, but here's the other thing. I'm scared of heights. So it's like, so Selena says to me, well, how are you supposed to fly if you're scared of heights? I go, well, if I took off from the ground, I wouldn't be so scared. But jumping out in midair, that's different.
So have you done that thing where they attach bungees to you on the ground and then launch you in the air?
That doesn't interest me because you just come right back down.
So you either go up and stay up or just no interest.
Yeah, exactly. I want to go up and stay up for a while. I don't want to just bounce around, you know, like some kind of bounce house clown.
No, you know, for whatever reason, you just reminded me of a total creep moment from my, like, when I was 13, we used to go to Action Mountain. Do you remember? Do you remember Action Mountain?
Park?
That was
Action
Park in New Jersey.
They're making a movie about it now with Johnny Knoxville.
Oh, is it the one from New Jersey?
Yes, they're making, because it was supposed to be the most dangerous place in the world, and they're making.
Oh my God, this place was insane. Like, I got hurt there so many times. I didn't realize. Oh my God, I'll totally see that. That's a great idea. But we used to. They used to have this like drop.
Wait a minute. It comes out this weekend. You are a Hollywood screenwriter. How do you not know this?
I don't. You know what? I can't pay attention to every movie.
It's like the big put. It's like, you know, Johnny Knoxville's everywhere promoting it, and it's like a big movie.
You know, I don't have I just have Hulu and Netflix. I'm. You know what? Everyone thinks I'm this Hollywood type because I've had all this success. But in actuality, I'm just like our listeners. I'm a regular guy. You know. That's so funny. Because what I was going to say is, I wonder if they deal with this. They had this thing where it was a straight drop down. Like, they'd push you over and you would drop straight down, probably like 50 feet. And then it would sort of tail off at the bottom. But we used to just, me and my creepy friends, when we were like 12 and 13, you just hang out at the bottom because, like, one out of every 10 girls that went down, their bathing suit would either go up their crack or their top would come off. And so you just kind of sit there and wait to see who it would happen to. Like, we would spend an hour there.
Let me say this, that when you said creepy friends, I was thinking you were 12 and they were 35. But now I'm thinking that they're just creepy friends.
They were just young, pubescent creeps like me. Speaking of, and we can do this anytime in the show, I've worked on a very special bit. I need three minutes to do it. But it's a performance piece called The Demon Diaries with Finn Balor. So
it? Has he approved it?
I think the fake one who emails us approved it, but the real one has no concept that I'm going to do this.
How do we know the fake one isn't the real one?
How great would that be?
That would be the best.
He's at, like, you know, he's like, by the way, I am Finn Balor. And we're just like, yeah, whatever.
Why does he have a French accent?
What, do you think there's only one Irish accent, your weird Conor McGregor accent?
No, I thought you were doing a French guy. I didn't know who you were
doing.
What
are you talking about? This is as Irish as it gets.
Is it gits?
Gits. How would you say gits?
How about this? I also want to talk about this. Old ZZ Top. I always listen to podcasts. I never listen to music. But I didn't, for some reason, I was like, all right, I only got a 2-minute ride. I'm not going to listen to a podcast. And so I put on the radio, and old ZZ Top was playing Cheap Sunglasses. And I thought, man, they were so good before they sold out and got really big.
Do you feel like, I saw them in concert post, like when they became like, we're doing like beer commercials, and they did something that I thought was the best use of limited energy, which is they just put, they had these treadmills on stage, like kind of buried into the stage. So there was like no up top setup. And at some point during like, best well-dressed man and She's Got Legs, all they do is they turn on treadmill. Jesus, this is how sick I am. They would just walk in different directions on the treadmill, and the crowd would go bananas. Like, they weren't even running or switching treadmills or doing some stunts. It was just their shit ass excuse for dancing on stage.
Well, how about how big a pop they got for spinning their guitar around?
Oh, I mean, these are the cheapest. In some ways, as a wrestler, you have to respect.
Oh, I respect it because they deserve it. Because they were big, but not huge for, well, since 72 when they had Tush. Or before that, probably. You know, I'm in love with him at downtown. I'm just looking for some Tush. What a great name for a Tush.
I know. Tush, this is like so not baller to say Tush, and yet that song totally works.
Well, it was 1972 or 3, I forget what the year was, so I don't think baller was even a thing then.
Do you think at that time you could use Tush in a sexual situation and it would like not create hilarity?
I think that if they would have been like Z instead of ZZ Top, if they would have been like ZZ Menorah and they would have said, I'm in love, take me downtown. I'm just looking for some tookus.
Wow, that's a long walk.
Well, I didn't have a treadmill to do it on. So. But no, but I used to love their music. It had that Texas gritty, dirty, down and dirty boogie sound. I mean, they were awesome. And even the album, and then my favorite song from when they got really famous from Eliminator was Never Was Their Biggest Song. I don't know why, even though it was called Pearl Necklace.
Oh, yeah, it probably had something to do with
that. That was a great song. She Wants a Pearl Necklace. I don't know if that'd be big in the Me Too movement, though.
Yeah, I mean.
See, it's a double entendre. It's a double entendre. Not just a pearl necklace, but she wants a jizz necklace. That's a pearl necklace.
I think we all knew. We all knew what it was.
Oh, well, then I really didn't need to explain.
I don't buy that any woman wants jizz on her neck. I'm saying, I think a woman could be like, oh, it makes you happy, so it makes me happy. But no woman's like, this by itself, even if you didn't enjoy it, I would still ask you to jizz on my neck.
Okay, then why do girls enjoy being pissed on?
Again, I
know a girl. Listen, I know a stripper that the Pitbull number two is with, and then she had him urinate. Listen,
the story has very little credibility.
She had him urinate in her mouth.
Oh, well, that's because, her dad abandoned her. Nothing good from that.
Oh, you don't think it's because she had a happy childhood?
Yeah, I don't think that's I want to remember how my dad took me to Disneyland every year. That's in her mouth?
Yeah. Yeah, no. At the time, I was like, sweet.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but I guess that's how R. Kelly got urinated on as a kid.
Isn't when you urinate in a woman's mouth, isn't that the correct term for that, a porta party?
No, but they do actually call urine during sex water sports.
That talk about putting some spit shine on something, because that sounds super fun, water sports.
Yeah, it is for someone, I guess. What about the people who enjoy being defecated on, or the person who defecates? What is that all about?
I think I peed on someone once in the shower, but it was
in the shower. It's a joke. It's in the shower.
Yeah. It was I was also trying to get away with it because things were going well.
And she probably got bit by a. She probably got bit by a squid.
There was a squid. No, jellyfish, right?
A jellyfish. I got bit by a jellyfish in the shower.
Yeah, but I was honestly I didn't want to step out of the shower and ruin the moment. So I was trying to pee on the down low, but then she crossed into the stream and then
She was peeing too and you crossed streams? Do you know what could have happened if you were Ghostbusters?
We were in the shower having a romantic moment and I had to pee so bad because we'd been drinking so much. And so I kind of tried to angle my body and pee on the sidewall while we were kissing. And then we shifted.
Why didn't you just tell her you had a piss and just to move her out of the way?
I was a little bit inebriated. I just felt like I was going to – because it could ruin the moment, right?
Are you sure they were you and your creepy friends or were they the ones with the creepy friend?
It was – yeah. All my creepy friends are outside the shower.
No, I mean, maybe when they tell the story, they're like, and our creepy friend, meaning
I'm sure as an adolescent, someone described me as a creepy friend at least once. I don't think
either. Even though you were the president of the school?
I was the president of Paul Six High School, editor-in-chief of the newspaper, head of the pep rally committee, voted most popular and most likely to succeed.
And also yeah, I had nothing else. I thought I had something, but I got nothing. I was going to add
today.
Would you
do it? If you met a woman who was you're just I'm blown away by this chick, and she's like, I want you to take a dump on my lap.
No.
Would you just – so no matter what, if it was just this is the one peccadillo.
No.
The one thing.
No.
Would you let her – would you take a shit and not flush and let her go in and do whatever and just
– No. God, no. I don't even think women go to the bathroom, number two, in my world.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
This explains. So when you were married, Selena never went to the bathroom.
No, she probably did. I just wasn't aware of it. All right, well, we have to move on because this topic is going nowhere fast.
So wait, let me do my bit so we don't get lost.
Okay.
This bit's a home run bit.
Okay. I'm with you.
All right, here we go. Guys, and also this, I put this bit together because I know we're going to start creating more Patreon. I'm very grateful right now because people have been signing up for Patreon and I wanted to put more time into the show.
Oh, well, then hold on. I have to mention this while we're on Patreon. And we've had a couple more $20 reprobates, $20 a month reprobate people that have joined up Patreon. And so they get to have their quote of the month said. So this month's quote from John is, "Hi, Raven and Busby, gas it up." Thanks.
No, he could have done any quote he wanted.
That's what he did.
He had his moment in the sun.
And the man is paying $20 a month. Are you going to mock him like that? How dare you, sir?
No, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your time and your investment.
And nice. Alex says, "Hey, Raven and Busby, I'm Alex Blaine, the recently divorced, putting his life back together teacher from Arizona. And my quote is, you can't move forward while looking backwards." Raven.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a great quote. Raven, keep up the awesome shows. Busby, your awkward segments are deliciously bad.
And on that note,
but I will say this though, that does tie in that, you sent me an email to a fan mail today, or maybe it was yesterday, and, talking about, he's really down and out and you know, cause he had a relapse from, drinking, you know, I guess he, drank again last night and he really misses his broken heart. I don't know if he misses her, but he's broken hearted. So I sent him a letter back, an email back, telling him, you know, to hang in there, but I'm telling him now in person, on the air, just hang in there. I mean, it's easy to say it, but things will get better, you know. But the best I can say is try to be grateful. I know it's hard, but try to be grateful, because when you're grateful, everything seems to work out better than when you're not grateful. Yeah. And I mean, and let's face it, if you still have a job and you have a roof over your head, that's more than some people got. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty, because that's the only thing that's bad about being. So you just got to try and remain grateful. That's what I always try to do.
Or lower your standards.
Or lower your standards. Yeah, that helps. That helps. And now for a Busby bit.
All right, here we go.
Of lower standards.
So Busby presents The Demon Diaries with Finn Balor.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I also forgot to say that our new Patreon $20 reprobates, who are always reprobates, not just on special occasions. Now, when you give $20 a month, they're not just reprobates. You know, they become actual reprobates always, not just on special occasions. And the content will be going up hopefully tonight or tomorrow, new content that I will make go up. I said I'd get it in there by Sunday, so I'm going to have it either tonight or tomorrow. I will have new content in there, our first big content. And that's all I will say about Patreon for today, because the people who aren't Patreoning don't want to hear about it, although they should, because it's really good way to waste your money on something frivolous like us. Like, if you're just going to piss away your money on like a pair of shoes you're never going to wear, then piss it away on us. Thank you. It's been a public service announcement.
All right, here we go. So, The Demon Diaries with Finn Balor. Here we go.
Unapproved. Official. Unofficially approved.
All right. Now, let me return the music. Okay, here we go. March 14th. I just turned 13 years old, and I'm feeling changes in me body. A demon is born inside me, and I don't know if I can control it. Or what will come next? April 4th. The demon has returned. My body is changing in all kinds of mysterious ways. Oh, this track is... Hold on. This track is super...
It's great. The music's great.
Okay. What will come next, I don't know. But I'm sure that I won't be able to control this demon much longer. Hold on, I'm setting up. This is the big part.
Okay.
May 12th. It finally happened. The demon has gone from an idea or a shadow in the mirror to a real thing. As I woke up this morning, I came to discover the demon blew a load in me underwear. Not sure how he... Hold on. Not sure how he did it, but I have a theory. He must have pulled down me covers, lifted the beast band of me underwear, and flicked in a load and rubbed it on me peen and balls. No other explanation could be made. Oh, man. Oh, God. Oh, God. Wait, there's like two more minutes. No, I gotta. Okay, hold on.
No, keep going. If there's more, I want to hear more.
I'll be trying to figure out another way to combat this terrible foe. Hold on a second. This, when I wrote this bit,
You're taking me out of the moment.
Hold on, because you know what? This is like a behind the music type thing.
Oh, okay.
Just know, when I wrote this bit, I was laughing so hard.
I am too.
At this idea of Finn Balor talking about the demon, but it's all clearly wet dreams. So just know that. Okay, I'm gonna go back into it.
Wait a minute, that's what it was?
That he blew a load in the end.
Oh, I thought the demon rubbed the jizz on his underwear and penis.
No, but he's just having an nocturnal emission.
Really? Thank you, Colonel Mustard. The murder tipped me off.
So you did know. Okay, you just pulled me into that. Okay, so let me just do this last chapter.
June 11th. It happened again. I woke up this morning only to look down to find me peen and balls.
I think that's really funny.
To find me peen and balls soaked in a demon seed. Also, I have a vague recollection of my mom's friend Patty from a dream. Something up.
Again. All right. I gotta pull it.
What was our motto? Always commit. You are not committing, my friend. I was totally into this until you ruined it.
I had a fantasy or something about her coming over to babysit. But she did more sitting than babying. I'm going to now burn this diary.
That's me.
Come on, give us the closer. I know there's a closer.
Okay, hold on. Here comes the closer. Oof.
Perhaps I have to accept this is me nature now. That I will have these soaked loads permeating me drawers. Or maybe Patty and I were meant to be. In the words of Rodney, I really regret this. In the words of Rodney Dangerfield. Hey, I don't get no respect.
What was I thinking? Hold on, guys. Can we take a step before anyone tweets about this bit? So by the way, if you thought this bit could have succeeded if I had simply committed, which I think is fair, hashtag demon semen. And if you think this bit was doomed, which is shocking to me, hashtag demon no thank you.
Yeah.
That's all.
You're still trying to get a viral tweet going, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess, you know what? It's so interesting because the first time we did hashtag Jablonski or hashtag Riddler, and then the audience turned on me immediately the next week with hashtag Turtlebush. It was very clear what I was trying to do with this.
You're an addict. You've got a taste. You got a big taste of a taste for free, and now you're just coming back to the dealer, getting ready to suck a dick for another hit.
I feel that way, and I got to tell you that we got such a massive response to Jablonski on first / Riddler on first, and I want that high again. And last week was. But, you know, it does seem like people like us chasing that high and, like, eating shit in a major way. So I guess it's a no-lose situation.
Sure.
Maybe.
Sure. Let's go with that. I think I have a thank you, fuck you today. And I think I'm going to change it a bit to emphasize today your battle. So let's say that you get offered – I was going to say let's say you get offered $1 million, right? Are you with me so far?
Yes.
But let's say you're offered another viral tweet, a viral tweet so big that how many did it gets five times the last one got.
So I would essentially like are you talking like viral like
I'm talking
Chrissy
Teigen? Yeah, Chrissy Teigen level viral.
Oh, wow. Okay. You know this is like my thing. Okay.
Right, right. So, and you get $1 million.
Oh, wow.
And you get $1 million. But, here's the but. It's a tough one. Everyone thinks to get this. Now, do you? If a genie could give this to you, would you say thank you or fuck you? So, a genie offers you that. But he's not one of those genie that just gives it away. You know, there's a price to pay. And the price is, everyone has to think you scammed an old lady.
Did I steal the viral tweet from her, or I scammed her in some other manner?
You took all her money. Basically, you conned her for the $1 million, like a Nigerian princess. And you conned her out of all her money, and everybody's aware of it, even though you really didn't. So you know you didn't. But, however, everyone thinks you did. Do you say thank you, or do you say fuck you?
Is this like a beloved old lady?
Wait, what is the difference? An old lady.
Well, like, let's just say it's like some.
You mean like Betty White?
Is it Betty? Because it's Betty White. That's just like you're not going to be able to enjoy your money. But if it's like that woman, the Secretary of Education or something.
No, it's not a mean old lady, and it's not a famous old lady. It's just an old lady that nobody knows anything about, other than she's an old lady and she's probably saved it up all her whole life just so she could live a nice retirement.
How viral is this tweet?
Chrissy Teigen.
Wow. And I get $1 million.
Well, no taxes. You can have the viral tweet or the $1 million. You don't get both.
I thought you said and.
I changed it. You only get 100,000. You get 10%.
I should ask less questions. The more questions I ask.
Yeah, you get 10%. It's like a bond. You get 10%.
10%?
Yeah. 100,000. That's still no chicken feed.
Do I have sex with this old lady?
You can. You don't have to.
That's on the table, though.
It's on the table.
Don't you want to do that once? Don't you want to have sex with a super old lady once?
If it's Helen Mirren, yes.
Well, that doesn't count. She looks amazing.
Okay, then Judi Dench.
You'd have sex with Judi Dench?
Yes. She's funny.
She's very funny.
Yes. I told you, I'm still cursing myself for that time I turned down the 85-year-old lady in Nashville.
Yeah, that's true. So you did have your opportunity. So I guess in the big picture, you don't want it bad enough.
Yeah, I guess I didn't. But this is not about me. This is about you.
Honestly.
Do you care enough about what people think? So you'll get your viral tweet, but then people are going to think, well, that guy's what a dick he is. He scammed an old lady out of a million bucks.
I'll tell you why it's a fuck you. I'll tell you why it's a fuck you and not a thank you. Because, like, it's 99.9% I don't care about. But, like, if my parents thought that were true, or, like, my close friends thought that were true, that would be – I wouldn't like that. Like,
well,
we don't know if they would.
We don't know if they would. But we don't know that they won't either. Nor do we know if you will have slept with her or not. You know, that's – even though it's on the table, we don't know if it's on the down low on the table or if it's on the wide open on the table.
See, because I was thinking if I slept with her, if I snap some photos, then I could have a second tweet that says, like, hashtag sour grapes, hashtag dick was too good. And then everyone maybe would start thinking she lied about it.
Oh, you're using her Twitter account?
Yeah, I'm using her Twitter account. So I hijack her Twitter account.
So you're going to take pictures of you having sex with her, and then you're going to have her hijack her Twitter account and say, and what are you going to say?
Hashtag sour grapes. Hashtag dick was numeral too good.
So wait, so now you're putting yourself over saying it was too good. Why would she have sour grapes if the dick was too good?
Well, that maybe she's saying that.
Why would she say sour grapes? Why would she even say sour grapes? She's mad you took her $1 million.
It's what we call a disinformation campaign. And this is what I try to do generally with hashtags is just create chaos. So they're like, why would she post these pictures of this chiseled 46-year-old man on top of her?
Well, then you're not sleeping with her, somebody else?
Well, no, it's me.
It's you.
You saw the gun show.
I did. I told you. You have great genetics for a transvestite.
I don't know why that doesn't bother me because I think trans people are wonderful.
Yeah, so do I. I don't have a problem with them. I'm just saying.
I don't know what you're. I don't know what you're inferring. Because thank you.
You're welcome.
To you.
You're welcome.
But fuck you to the genie. But fuck you to the genie.
Ah, wow, that's not nice. Turns out the genie was actually Barbara Eden.
What?
Who knew?
So she's probably, is she still alive?
Well, I for this story, she is.
Wait a minute. Did I swindle Barbara Eden and then she was forced to give me this wish?
No, you turned her down and she didn't give you the wish. And so I don't know what that means. I haven't really thought that far through because I didn't know the genie was going to turn out to be Barbara Eden. That's new to me.
Hold on. I'm looking to make sure she's still alive. She's not.
Well, then.
Oh, no. Maybe she is.
I think she might be. All right. Well, let's move forward. Let's move forward.
Yeah. She's 86 years old. She looks pretty great.
And she's the old lady.
That was what I was trying to tie together, and you negated me.
Swerve. She's the old lady.
Hashtag. This is a good. Now, again, I don't want to overdo these hashtags.
Yes.
But I feel like this is a great. I feel like this is an organic opportunity.
Really?
If you think this was a great thank you or fuck you, write hashtag thank you fucking A.
Why but, fucking A? Why not fuck Barbara Eden?
Okay.
Oh, we don't want to fuck Barbara Eden. I mean, we do, but we don't want to make it like we're saying fuck Barbara Eden. But this is a lot of fucks. Robert's gonna have a lot of bleeping. So let's move forward.
Well, hold on. And if you don't like this bit, hashtag
just put thank you. Put thank you.
Eden Crow.
If you like this bit, if you like the bit, say thank you. And if you don't, say F you. It's
what about hashtag Eden Crow? Barbara Eden, Eden Crow? What is that too common?
Well, that would make her a relative of mine because crows and ravens are cousins.
All right. So I'll be curious to see how Robert, could you add, because I guess this worked out really well. I didn't listen. Right now, just add like 5 seconds of banjo, just real sweet banjo music, and then just return to this conversation.
Okay, so today's quote of the day is by John Carradine, the famous actor. And it says, I love this quote. Temperament is nothing more than bad manners.
Oh, that's a very like Oscar Wilde to like you're holding a martini and you're being pithy kind of quote, right?
Yes, yes. That's what I would like to see you as. I'd like to see you in a smoking jacket. I'd actually like to see the jacket on fire. That's why it's smoking. No, I'd like to see you in a smoking jacket and then with an ascot and a pipe or a cigar. No, a pipe, not a cigar, a pipe. And then you say something pithy like that. But we'll have to work on that, though. And we'll have to get some pictures of that, too. And then, we have new T-shirts coming out, I think. Not yet, but hopefully we're going to have some new T-shirts coming out. And we're going to try and get that the picture of Busby. With the remain calm and stay dickish.
Oh, the Zachariah Black design? Yes. That was really great.
Yeah, we're going to try and have that made. I haven't heard back from the designer yet, but I should be hearing back from him. But he's probably busy because there's a big sale over the weekend. Well, not the one coming up, the one we just had, even though it hasn't happened yet because we're recording this in the past and you're listening to this in the future.
But it's not even happening. It's happening now.
Yeah, the sales are going on right now, but not now when you listen to this, but now for me and Busby in our time. And speaking of time, man, that show Timeless was a great show.
Like you say, it was. The series end?
No, I think it's still coming back. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure it's coming back, but I knew there was something I wanted that I liked. Oh no, I know what I was thinking of. Coming out for time travel, I thought the 12 Monkeys new season had come out on Hulu, but it hasn't. That was last season that came out on Hulu. The new season comes out on Sci-Fi starting the 15th of June, I think. And that I'm excited for because I've never seen a better time travel show that honored all the, you know, that thought that far ahead and that intelligently and that smartly to make sure that everything works out and everything makes sense and nothing contradicts each other. And this really should be in the recommendation segment, but we're not there yet. So I have to get on with the show.
And, I got about 3 monkeys in and I lost interest.
The 4th monkey's where it really kicks in. Because it's the 5th, it's actually the 17th monkey that writes the War and Peace. Because they said if you get like a million monkeys to
wait, type. It was only hold up. They got a million monkeys together to type on typewriters for eternity, and the 17th one wrote War and Peace.
Yes,
I would have thought it would have been. I would have thought it would have taken like a million years for this to happen.
No, in fact, it's very crazy. The 17th monkey, he was like a Mensa member. He was a genius.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's crazy. See, do we have any? I wanted to talk about that. I finally bought a new computer. Well, to say this real quick, I bought a new computer because mine's a 2008 Apple, and 2008 is like basically an abacus. That's how far back in time it is. But what's the over under on when I'll get around to actually replacing mine with the one I bought the other day?
So it's just sitting in a box, right?
Yeah,
now?
It's sitting in a box. How long do you think it's going to take me to get around to switching it?
Honestly, if you get to it before Labor Day. I would be shocked.
So over under, if you want to have a good hashtag, hashtag over, hashtag under, whether Raven gets his computer set up by Labor Day. Now it's time for a song.
This show is speeding by. It's chaos. This show is chaos.
This song is called The Theme from the Busbies.
Oh.
Here he comes, trying to get GP'd. By ruining the mattress of everyone he meets. Hey, hey, we're the Busbies. And tickishness knows no bounds. But we're too passive aggressive because we're fat and round.
Oh, man.
I eat whatever I like. Do racism too. We don't have time to make for anyone but Jews. Hey, we're the Busbies. Don't know why Chris is hanging around? I'm too busy squeezing in that the minnow has ran aground. Call back. Hey, we're the Busbies. Come on, that was a classic.
Pretty good. Pretty good. I think faster is better for you.
Yeah, but you like the way I... Here he comes.
Oh, you committed.
I'm going to do it one more time, the first verse. Here he comes, trying to get cheapied by ruining the mattress of everyone he meets. Hey, we're the Busbies, and our dickishness knows no bounds, but we're too passive-aggressive because we're fat and round.
Yeah, again, I'm in fantastic shape.
Well,
I'm not a racist.
Well, some of the facts have been liberally appropriated.
I was going to tell you, speaking of cheap heat, I have this. So Krista is out of town for a couple weeks. She's working. You know, she makes way more money than me and she's way more successful than me. I think I've mentioned that.
Do not go for cheap sympathy. How dare you?
I'm just saying, guys. I'm just saying for the five ladies who listen, I'm not a guy whose ego prevents him from being with a woman who makes a lot more money than him.
Nor does it prevent him from standing underneath rides and looking up their skirts.
Okay, 13 years old. And it was
I thought you were 12.
Well, no.
So you were 18, 19.
she's in Boston working some gig. And I have this bit that she hates that I always say that, like, if she's out of town for more than 2 weeks, it's such a dick move. If she's out of town for more than 2 weeks, I go, well, you know, that means that we have to start the relationship over. And then for months after she's gone, I'll sneak in little things like, oh, man, I'll tell you what, this has been the best 4 weeks of my life. And she gets like so genuinely upset. But that's what makes me laugh, because like I can't not do it, because the fact that it really bothers her, this absurd like thing that I've presented, it's like, how do you not keep calling back that joke hundreds of times?
Well, maybe because it hurts her feelings.
But am I making her stronger?
Wow. I never saw it that way. I stand corrected. All right, let's talk about some wrestling. What happened in wrestling?
Well, I sent you watched the video I sent you?
Yes, yes, yes.
Holy macaroni.
Who is that?
That is Enzo Amore.
That's what I thought. I never knew what he looked like.
Bananasville. So just a recap for people listening that, I mean, most of our fans who weren't
in the video, in the email chain between me and you about the video?
I guess it was a couple months ago. Enzo Amore, who was, you know, getting a pretty good push on WWE. He'd been moved to 205 Live.
But apparently, you know, wait, let me just say, wasn't it because he wasn't well-liked or something that they moved him to 205?
Yeah, well, there was a bunch of things. But this is the scuttlebutt. I mean, I'm not backstage there, but they had. So he was. This is the truth. This is as I see the truth. He was pretty. I mean, I know he was not well liked. I had friends who worked there who told me that he sort of his attitude was a problem. They decided to break him up from Big Cass, his tag team partner, and to his credit, in this program that was meant to put over Big Cass, Enzo played such a like convincing underdog babyface and cut such good promos. He ended up, even though he was getting squashed, he ended up getting over in the program, and so it was kind of undeniable. But still, people had a little problem with his attitude. He gets moved to 205
Live.
Well,
wasn't his attitude like the fact that like he'd wear the title belt down Melrose Avenue?
I didn't hear that. I mean, they gave him the cruiserweight title, the 205.
Yeah, didn't
title.
He wear that down Melrose Avenue in L.A.?
I don't know. Is that like a reference to me that I don't
no,
know?
No, it's not. No, I mean, I think I
because I have that. I have that U.S. title belt I stole from WCW that I sometimes wear around.
No, I didn't know that either. But
oh, sorry. Well, then you know what? We might want to cut that. I don't know.
So we've almost held the title the same amount of time. I held it for 23 hours, and you held it for zero. But.
Pretty close.
It's close. So anyway, so no, but I heard that, but maybe it's not true, but whatever. And that he worked in nightclubs and stuff like that. But
yeah,
anyway.
I mean, he had this sort of reputation for being like talking a lot of sauce. And I think there was a time he was kicked off a bus and during a European tour for like talking on his phone too loud when people were sleeping. Like these are just stories. I can't confirm any of them.
And this is coming from someone like me who was hated by a large majority of people who was up there at the top of the dickish people. Not at the level of Busby. I mean, that's ridiculous. But
first time I was going to hang out with Raven, Kevin Nash brought me over to an SUV that Raven was driving, and Nash said, "Hey, this kid's cool. You mind if he comes out with us tonight?" And Raven said, "Yeah, I don't want him to come out with us." Right in front, right to my face.
Yeah, but in hindsight, though, I made the right call.
I'm just saying
take it with a grain of salt. Who am I to cast aspersions is what I'm saying.
And also take what I say, hashtag two grains of salt. Cause I don't know if this stuff's true. I read this stuff on the sheets. Like I have a couple friends there. I know that his attitude wasn't appreciated backstage. That's common knowledge.
But apparently he was supposed to be phenomenally talented.
The guy, not a great worker, fantastic talker, really good talker. I mean,
so let's get to the point. Let's get to the chase.
Well, I'm trying.
Yeah, I'm not doing much good at helping.
So he via Twitter or Instagram, he's accused of like sexual assault and harassment by a woman. The police, wherever this happens, start to investigate. As I have been told the story, WWE goes to him and says, "Hey, what is this?" He denies that there is an investigation. And that's why he's fired.
No, I heard it was because he never let him know ahead of time.
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. No.
Either way, the investigation proved that he was completely in the right, that the girl was completely a charlatan, mocking the Me Too movement, but not how we mock it gently, but mocking it to its full mockability.
Is that true? I mean, all I know is that they did not press charges.
Yeah, like, no, because I read in like somebody sent me the transcripts of her text messages saying she was going to get laid tonight and all this. So she was already planning on doing them. I mean, you know, or she was bragging about after, "Oh, I just slept with him," as opposed to saying, "Oh, I just got raped." She was like, "Oh, I just slept with him, man. I totally did him." And then, so then she tried to, you know, claim that whatever. Anyway, so now
you've seen that stuff. I have not. The point is,
I saw it third hand.
So persona, by the way, this is my favorite segment we've ever done.
Me too.
Of us like regaling a story where we have no facts. So anyway,
we've committed to it.
Committed to it. What we do know to be true is Enzo finally speaks out, and he does so in the form of a rap video, sort of taking down WWE and this woman. And it is the most banana. To me, this video is bananas.
I enjoyed it. I gave it a thumbs up.
There were some spots in this video that made me laugh so hard. One, he does two kip. He plays this kip up. He does a kip up at a funeral, and he does it twice in the video. I don't know why that made me laugh, but someone doing a kip up at a funeral is so funny to me.
Well, he was kipping up like he's not dead. That's why.
I guess, but he's not in the coffin. He's just where people stand.
Is he?
No. The coffin's clearly behind him.
Yeah, but the coffin's supposed to be him. It's symbolism.
Right, but then he's got to kip up out of the coffin, right? You don't kip up where
it's
the
kind of more
morgue.
Well, I don't know. Look, let's not quibble.
He clotheslines a Latino woman at the funeral. Did you see that?
She was asking for it.
And then there's all this stuff of him driving a dune buggy, dragging around an ivory casket with gold finish that I just thought it was so funny. And then the thing that made me laugh the most was that – so I see this video and it starts with this almost like Van Halen-ish sort of like neck-eared nerd kind of guy who like talks trash on Reddit. Like, you know, so basically he's ripping into this – fat neck, and I mean they really overdo it, like the guy's got a shirt that's two sizes too small, his belly's hanging out. And then I go and watch this other video someone made in Times Square of Enzo kind of meeting with his fans, and every single guy around him looks just like this guy that he is shitting on in the music video. They're all kind of these heavy set guys that with neck beards. I was like, oh my god, this is just the
why are you making
thing.
Fun of our audience?
First of all, our audience is very attractive.
Wow.
Our audience is super
attractive. Gee, Pete. Now, let me say this. First of all, I would never have watched this video to begin with if you wouldn't have asked me to, just like the way you've watched The Detour week in and week out, like I asked you to.
It's been on my watch list.
Yeah, that's great. Anyway, so I watched it because you asked me to. I actually enjoyed it. I mean, I don't like watching videos. I'm going to say that it's not Donald Glover-ish. Not that I saw his video, but his.
Wait, you're comparing it to how great Donald Glover video is, Childish Gambino video, even though you haven't seen it?
Yeah, well, yeah, pretty much.
It's a great, that video, guys, is great.
But let me say, but Donald Glover, Childish Gambino has his shirt off. He doesn't have the build. At least Enzo has a build with a flat stomach. So I appreciated that.
What a weird. First of all, I think Donald Glover has a perfectly fine physique. He's not fat.
Don't try and suck up to Donald Glover. You're not going to make
he's
any.
Very talented.
You're not going to write any screenplays for him.
I'm hoping that he does a spinoff of Atlanta called Decatur because I live there. And
what
I think
if
I could write.
I heard he was going to take two projects that he's worked on and combine them to it called Atlanto.
Oh boy.
Atlanto.
We are sinking.
Atlanto Calrissian. Did you see when he was on SNL?
He was great.
He was great. But he did this great skit where he's Lando Calrissian, and he's like, it was like a big convention of
all the black people in the universe.
All the black people in the universe, and there's
super
four people.
Funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. No, I thought he probably was the best host of the season.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he was right up there. But
John Mulaney? Do you think John Mulaney did well?
Yeah, John Mulaney was good. He was good. But no, not John Mulaney. Oh, I thought name?
Oh, the guy from Black Panther was great.
Yeah, he was great. And Bill Hader was good, I think.
Yeah, that's like almost cheating though, because Bill Hader's so good.
No, Tina Fey. Tina Fey was brilliant.
She was good, but you know, she wasn't in a ton of the show.
Well, she never
though. She picked her shots and she did well, but she wasn't in as much of the show as I thought she'd be.
Well, yeah, but she brought a lot of guest stars with her.
Do you like that or do you not like that? I think it's a little overkill for me.
When I was a kid, I would have loved the current climate because nobody ever guest starred on anybody else's stuff, like especially in music. There was like now every song has featuring so-and-so. But when I was a kid, nobody ever left, you know, played in another person's band or joined in or anything. And same with like SNL, they would never bring extra people on. So if as a kid, I always wanted that as a kid. Now as an adult, I don't care so much.
I was going to say, like, could you imagine if like Bob Denver was doing a song and he's like, and now, ladies and gentlemen, Big Daddy Kane.
Why would Bob Denver be doing a song?
Oh, wait. Is Bob Denver Gilligan and John Denver's the singer?
Yeah.
Well, the people knew what I meant.
I did not know what you
meant. Hashtag all Denvers are created equal.
It's the Mile High City. It's a mile. It's harder to breathe there.
Did you ever get blown up in Denver?
Yeah, the first time I went there, didn't realize it would blow me up, and it didn't blow me up. Second time I went there, I thought it was going to blow me. I was afraid. I heard about it from everybody that it'll blow me up, and it did blow me up. So that's what I get for listening to everybody else.
I do feel like sometimes if you – like when I was 14, I went skiing with my friend Tony and his dad. And I just went – I never skied before other than like Ski Mountain in Jersey, which is nothing. I went up on the biggest mountain, skied all the way down, came to the bottom. I didn't do great, but I didn't fall and it was fine. And Tony's dad saw me and said, "Oh my God, you went on that mountain? That's like a 2 black diamond mountain. Oh my God, I can't believe it." And do you know what? I went up again and I was paralyzed with fear and I was on the bunny hill for the rest of the day.
Wow. Yeah, I was never any good at skiing, but of course I never took lessons, so I wasn't very good. I could only do the trails. But Selena, when she was like 6, she was doing 2 black diamonds.
And also, it's kind of like a Jewish thing, isn't it?
No, she's not Jewish.
No, I'm saying Jewish people can't ski.
Oh, yeah, we have no athletic skill whatsoever. Well, we did.
It's just something I heard. It's just something I heard.
Well, our specialty is the 40-year dash. I love that joke.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
But Selena, man, she was a world-class gymnast. She was like –
she's an athlete, though. Oh, my God. She's ripped.
Yeah. She's a world-class. She tried out for, her mom made her switch to the ballet from gymnastics because there's more money in the future in it. And so she was like 7 or 8 and she tried out for the European ballet, never doing ballet before, and got on the thing. So she was like 7 or 8 and performed in front of queens and stuff as like the lead. Very exciting. But no pictures, though.
It must be intimidating, like having Freddie Mercury sitting in the front row.
Ah, good one. Nothing. Good one. Yeah, I didn't. Thank you. That saved that. Yeah. I really wish it, but she ripped up all the photos and stuff when she quit. So
why did she rip them up? That's crazy.
Yeah, because she, I don't know. So I'd love to see photos of her from back then, but but I know it's true because her parents talk about it all the time. Wouldn't that be screwed up though if her parents just made up the whole thing and convinced her of it?
What a weird elaborate lie that would be. Like it's like a nonsensical lie.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Yeah, but anyway, she's amazing. Anyway, she's with the dog now. That's why usually when I blow the horn during the show, the dog comes running every time. The Gabriel, that is, the producer. The executive producer of our show. And it's weird because when I blow it, I don't see him come running because he's over at her house today. And I'm sad.
I didn't have my dog for 4 days. And I know it sounds pathetic, but like I would walk into a room and it would just feel like there was no life in that room. Like dogs are kind of magical creatures in that way. They just bring this energy to the house.
The magazine or the game or the board game?
Did I think there was no Life magazine in the room? I was like, there are only normal sized magazines in this room.
Or there's no board games.
They don't. I heard the second part. I just.
You refuse to put it over?
They don't even make Life magazine anymore, do they?
I don't know if they don't make it. So Twitter and Facebook is The Raven Effect and the website is theraveneffect.com. Fan mail is fanmail@, you guessed it, theraveneffect.com. Saturn is GoFund. Oh, I talked to Saturn yesterday. He called.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm really excited because today he'll be flying to Boston. Jericho paid for it. Bought him a first-class ticket, as a matter of fact. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The boss did good. Good job, boss. And so he's going to go see the specialist. At the, I guess at the, in Boston, whatever the big hospital in Boston is. Is that the Mayo?
I'm not sure. I mean.
Whatever. Oh, no, or the big CTE Institute, whatever it is at Boston. Johns Hopkins, whatever. Bernard Hopkins, the boxer. anyway, so he's going to fly out today and he's going to get some results on what his condition actually is, how far bad it is. You know, he's a. And so, I mean, I was really good to talk to him, and he sounded in great spirits. He's had less incidents of him, you know, forgetting what happened and hiding medicines all over the house and then not being able to find them. But
Is it Tufts? Is he going to Tufts?
I always wondered where Tufts was. Now I know. I don't think
that's one of the bigger ones there. Brigham Hospital? Does that sound familiar?
No? I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter. But if you want to give to his GoFundMe campaign, Oh, and I talked to him about starting a Patreon account. Hopefully he will, because that way people he can upload content, and then people won't feel like they're just giving him money for no reason, like they do for us.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, because they give to his GoFundMe campaign. But and he also finally had his hearing about getting disability. So hopefully there'll be good news. It'll get disability, and he won't need a GoFundMe campaign. Because he definitely deserves it. But his GoFundMe campaign right now is GoFundMe.com/Perry Saturnalia. That's Saturn with an A-L-I-A at the end. Addiction Hotline, 800-662-4357. AddictionAndRecovery.org. That's a great place to learn about addiction. You know, if you have an addiction, if you are in recovery, if you have people that are enabling you, for them to learn about it. Subscribe to Westwood One or Apple Podcasts. Please leave 5-star reviews, complimentary comments. 5-star total is 627 as of yesterday or the day before. You guys are kind of slacking down a little bit. It's 627. We're never going to get to 750 to hear the wedding story, me and Selena, which is a really good story. I think it is. Don't you, Buzz? Oh, you haven't heard it either. Maybe you have.
I have not. Well, I don't think I've heard the whole story.
I think you heard it at the time, but you no longer remember it.
That's probably true.
Yeah. Well, it's not like you remember what you do on the show, so why would you remember that? That was passive aggressive.
A little bit.
Losing your hair? Suffering from hair loss? Dr. Barusco at Tempest Hair Restoration can help prevent hair loss and restore what's already gone. Call 877-877-5200 or check out hairdoctorflorida.com to schedule your free consultation. I'd like to plug that I'm going to be working in New York for Damage Promotion. Not this weekend. No, this weekend, I think. Yes, I think it's this weekend, and I'll be in Los Angeles for Maverick Promotions in 3 weeks, I think. It's all confusing. Do you have any plugs, or just being a McAfee is going to be anywhere?
You know what? Check my Twitter. We're doing this really – if you're in L.A., we're doing this really fun thing on Monday nights. Both Juzo and I are in it where we're being live directed, and we've been getting really big crowds. It's been a lot of fun. It's like a 2-hour sort of intro into the world of clown. But I'll speak more of this next week. The Jetso episode of Please Understand Me, which is a Sarah Silverman produced, web series. It hit Facebook last week, and it will be, updating. Our episode comes out mid month, but, it's really good. And we've been to a couple, screenings of it in the last 2 weeks, and it's gotten a great response. So I'm excited for everyone to see it.
That's cool, man. That's really cool. Sarah Silverman, huh?
Yeah, I actually didn't know she was the producer until about 2 weeks ago. The guy who kind of cast us is a guy I know from this theater, Lyric Hyperion, in Silver Lake. And and it was only when I saw the cut of it that I heard her VO in the beginning of it. And I was like, oh, shoot, she's involved.
Are we going to be performing a live podcast when I'm in Los Angeles?
I've sent that email. I'm not sure yet. Fingers crossed. And, so I've sent an email to sort of find if we can reserve the time.
And also, I'm going to have a new tier for Patreon, a couple new tiers, but one of them will be for $2,999.95. You will have me and Busby fly to your house, and we will do a live podcast in front of you and all your friends. And you don't have to renew that one. That one's you can just buy a one-timer.
I'm very curious about this one. It would be super fun to try to do something like that.
Yeah, because really, we have to make it $2,995 because we're going to have to pay for airfare, and then we're going to have to pay me and Busby. And so that figures that it comes out to about $1,000 a piece plus $1,000 for airfare. And then you guys can team up together and chip in and then just buy once. And then, I mean, and if you forget to unsign up and it goes a second time, don't worry, we'll pocket the money.
That would be a major gaffe to forget. They'd be like, oh, good.
Do you have any recommendations?
Recommendations. Another podcast, very different than ours, but the 30 for 30, the ESPN podcast, has a really cool 5-part episode on Bikram yoga.
Burt Bacharach yoga?
Yeah, I'm saying it all wrong, but they have just a very inside look at this business of I thought it was super good. I was listening to it last week.
Have you remembered, before I give my recommendation, have you remembered your catchphrase for the end of the show?
I think I'm coming up with a new.
Don't surprise me. Ready. I just wanted to prepare you.
Yeah, I'm ready.
My recommendation is a show, Deception. It got canceled, but it was awesome. It was so good. It was like a magician. He was a magician, and he is working for the FBI, and his twin brother's in jail because they didn't know he had a twin brother before his act. And so for years, his brother was kept a secret, so they thought he was doing all these tricks. But of course, when you have a twin, you can do a lot more cool stuff. And so his brother's in jail for murder, and it's really cool. I mean, it's a great show. It's really put together well. The guy, the soccer player, hooligan guy, is in it. Vinny Jones, he's in it.
Oh, I like him.
Yeah, he's good. And then, anyway, it's a really great show. You really like it, but you're never going to watch it. But here's a show you might like, The Detour.
You know what? I know you don't think it's on the list for me.
No, I think it's on the list. I just think you're never going to watch it.
I just don't have, like, a thirst for it. Does that...
Because he's Canadian?
Nah. You know, Trump said they're our enemies, so I don't know.
Wow. Peace, love, and sobriety. It's a certain cure for those morning headaches. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
Goodbye to me.
The end. Go to bed.
The Westwood One Podcast Network. The Ugly Truth with D.L. Ugly.
One place they need happy black people is the NFL. If you don't want to make a spectacle out of it, if it's a private protest, stay in the tunnel. If enough black people... Listen, if you look up and you see all white people on the field until it's time to kick off, you understand that people are mad.
The Ugly Truth. Download and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and the Westwood One Podcast app. Free from the Westwood One Podcast Network.